Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show is going to help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guest will provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. And our guests work in various professions, and they're at different stages of their careers. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show that'll be able to help you with your show business career questions. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic our show, which is Question Reality, obviously, and click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page on the website, and that's where you can view the list of all of the past guests. Now, you can download our free app for your Android or iPhone too, and you can listen to any of our other exciting and informative shows that are on LA Talk Radio. So just download the app from the home page of the LA Talk Radio website, and that's located towards the bottom of the page. So just scroll, and you will eventually see it. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section, and we're on Stitcher.com, S-T-I-C-T-C-H-E-R.com. Just go to their websites and type Question Reality Radio in the search box, and you'll find all of our shows there as well. And if you want to find out about our future guests, now that's a whole different website. That is the official Question Reality website, and that's where you can see guests that are booked in advance. You can see, oh, I want to check out this person and that person, and oh my God, I feel like I'm drunk. I don't even know what I'm talking about at this point. I'm kind of dazed. But that's where you can find out who is on for the next 6 months. Again, we book our show 6 months to a year in advance. So if you know someone that works professionally in the entertainment industry and you think they would like to come on our show and provide our audience with excellent sage advice for the entertainment industry, then please have them go to questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and contact us, and we will get back to them for sure, for sure. Now, as always, we have, oh my gosh, we have one of my favorite guests ever in the whole 7 years I've been doing this show. She is one of my absolute favorites. I have to have her on as much as possible. But I tell you, she's been MIA for the past 2 years, and I got some emails, and they said, whatever happened to that film critic? And I said, oh, Betty Jo Tucker, we got to have her back on. And so that is exactly what we have today, a film critic. Her name is Betty Jo Tucker. You want to go to her website, bettyjotucker.com. That's BettyJoTucker.com. She also is on realtalkreviews.com, real as in R-E-E-L, talkreviews.com. And she also has a radio show on blog.com. talkradio.com under Movie Attic Headquarters. So those are her websites if you want to check her out. Just to tell you a little bit about her, Betty Jo Tucker serves as an editor and a lead film critic for Real Talk Movie Reviews. She writes film commentary for the Colorado Senior Beacon. She is the award-winning author of Confessions of a Movie Addict and Susan Sarandon, A True Maverick. She hosts, again, a weekly radio show called Movie Attic Headquarters, as I just said, on Blog Talk Radio. And using the pen names of Harry and Elizabeth Lawrence, Betty Jo and her husband Larry, Wild Larry, Luscious Larry, as I like to call him, co-wrote It Had to Be Us, which is an award-winning romantic memoir. And it's now in the early stages of film adaptation. So we got Wild Betty Jo Tucker on the show. Welcome, Betty Jo Tucker.
I am so glad to be back on your show, Priscilla, because you just make me feel so good. You are the most enthusiastic, helpful, entertaining hostess with the mostest. I'm so glad to be here.
Wow, I love that. Now you know why I love having Betty Jo Tucker on my show. Who doesn't want an intro like that? That's fantastic.
And perfect timing, because it's the Sunday before the Oscars.
I know. Well, I said we got to get Betty Jo on before the Oscars. What good is her doing a review of what she thinks of the winners if she doesn't come on before the Oscars? So thank goodness we got you on today. Now, just let's talk a little bit. You've been on the show before, so we kind of know you, know what you do, but we have new people tuning in all the time, and we want to add them to the Betty Jo Tucker fan list, okay? So let's talk about what are your job responsibilities at Movie Attic Headquarters, Real Talk Movie Reviews, and the Colorado Senior Beacon, if you can kind of sum it up, because you know what? I'll have a lot of people say to me, what does a film critic do when they're not watching a film and writing about it? Now, I don't know if there's anything else that would be involved, because that seems like it would be pretty much it, but why don't you give us, you know, highlight things that people don't know that a film critic does?
Well, in terms of all, everything is related, you know, to the movies, because I am a movie addict, and I've been that way ever since I can remember. So everything is related to the movies. So I'm really more of a movie fan than I am a film critic. I think all of my fans know that. But my responsibilities as a film critic are to, you know, to be honest and to give the listeners or the readers my honest opinion about the films that I see. And my responsibilities on the radio show are to provide guests that are entertaining and insightful for the listeners. And my responsibilities as an author are to write something that is entertaining and meaningful and maybe funny and maybe inspirational for the readers. So does that kind of cover it?
That does it all, Betty Jo Tucker. And you know, I love your, as a matter of fact, I want to buy a boat just so I can name it Betty Jo Tucker. That I know people might call you Betty. They might call you Betty Jo. I'm obsessed with your name, Betty Jo Tucker. So I hope you don't mind me saying your whole name. I
love that. I love that you like that name. When I was interviewing Tony Curtis, he had a little hearing problem. I think I told you this story before. I have a little hearing problem too. You do as you grow older. Yeah. But anyway, he misunderstood my name, and he kept calling me Betty Culpepper. And he said, Betty Culpepper, what a name. He says, listen to this. He says, have I got a movie for you? He says, Montana Skies, starring Betty Culpepper. and then people have called me that, you know, several people that were listening to that interview, they started calling me Betty Culpepper. But anyway, my real name is Betty Jo Tucker, so you got it right, Priscilla.
I did. I know your name. I love that name. That is a great story. I know you have interviewed so many famous people. Tell us some more stories about some famous people you interviewed and maybe some cute little stories like you said, like you told with Tony.
Well, I have to tell you, and maybe don't stop me if you heard this because I love to tell it.
I don't remember a thing. It's all new to me, Betty Jo Tucker. Just tell me.
Well, Cloris Leachman was, she was so wonderful on the show, so I don't mean this as any disparaging remarks about her, but I usually give the guests a list of questions for approval so that they know something, you know, what's going to happen in the show, and that was unnecessary because when she came on our show, it wasn't an interview, it was a comedy ambush. She just took over the show. She was so great. She was just so great. But she even brought her son with her on the show, and her own sound effects. She pretended like she did sound effects because her cook had brought her some soup. And she was crunching like lettuce, and she was just doing, you know, and she was making fun of the things that she, incidents that took place when she was working with Mel Brooks on High Anxiety and Young Frankenstein. And so, of course, out went the script.
Now, was this recently or was this a while
back? No, that's been about three or four years ago. So that's very, very memorable.
Oh,
and then
not to mention
any names, but one day we had one show, we were talking about movie musicals. And I booked an expert on movie musicals, and things weren't going so well with that interview. And I said, you know, have you seen this musical, that musical? No, he hadn't. And he said he hadn't seen a musical since 1954.
Oh, God! What?
But most of the guests are just really, you know, fantastic. I've just enjoyed every one of them. And
are you talking about on your where can we tune in to hear? Is that at the realtalkmoviereviews.com? Is that on your blog radio show you're referring to?
This is the Movie Addict headquarters on Blog Talk Radio. It airs every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. That would be 1 p.m. Pacific time. And if you go to my personal website, the one that you first mentioned,
BettyJoTucker.com.
Yes, it'll take you everywhere. It'll take you to my books. It'll take you to the radio show. It'll take you to my interviews, to my reviews. That's the jumping off place for finding out everything.
That's the hot set right there. That's the hot set. Now, you know, I actually I love Cloris Leachman. I tend to revisit what I call my old friends, which are my old shows or old movies. If I tell Albert I want to revisit my old friend, he's like, which show? Now, and I just started rewatching Mary Tyler Moore. So I see Cloris, I think when she was on the show, she was probably in her late 20s, early 30s, but she was just so funny. Her timing is just impeccable. I adore her, and I love her even more in what is that recent comedy she's on? It's she plays the grandmother.
Yes,
you know what I'm talking. Hope.
I do hope. Know the hope.
Something,
yes,
hope. Something hope. Raising
yes,
hope.
It's got hope in it.
True. It's got hope, yeah. And she's fantastic. I mean, she must be, I don't know how old she is, but she's really, I mean, she's sharp as a tack.
Well, she is.
I just think she's brilliant.
Now, she was, when I interviewed her, she was, I guess she had just turned 80, and she had just written her autobiography. And, oh, yes, she was sharp as a tack. And it was getting close to her birthday, or she just had her birthday or something. So my producer and one of the co-hosts and I sang happy birthday to her. And oh. she said, that's the worst singing I've ever heard.
Whoa,
and it was.
Tried, Betty.
It was awful.
It's a thought that counts, for God's sake. Well, you get fantastic guests on your radio show. It sounds like you get the cream of the crop over there. I'm going to have you refer your guest over to my show.
I'll do that.
Please.
I will definitely.
You got to tell them. If you think I did a great interview, Priscilla does a good interview too. Give her a call because
I'm going to do that.
I'm going to hold you to it, but we're going to do a trade for exposure. Okay.
Okay.
Now, I want to talk to you about your book, It Had to Be Us. Now,
For
those who don't know what it's about, can you tell us what the book is about? What awards did you win for the book? And where can we buy the book?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Now, you know that 50 Shades of Grey opened this past weekend, this weekend. And I don't want people to get this, It Had to Be Us, mixed up with 50 Shades of Grey. It could call it...
Betty Jo, I'm starting to have some serious visions of you and Larry right now, and I don't know what to think. I got to block it out. Betty Jo.
Well, It Had to Be Us could probably be renamed 50 Shades of Gray Hair.
What?
Because it's about two senior citizens who try to rediscover their lost love. And of course, it is a book that Larry and I wrote, and we use pen names. But we were married. We were high school sweethearts, and we were married right after high school. And we were married for about 24 years and raised two grown children. And then we divorced, and we were divorced and estranged for almost 20 years. And then we accidentally met again, and Cupid shot those arrows. And we got back together and remarried, and people could not believe it. People said, how in the world did that happen? So we decided that we would take key situations, key incidents, and each one of us would write our feelings and reactions about that incident. And so the book is written Elizabeth Remembers and Harry Remembers. And so that's the format of the book. So and it won, believe it or not, it won the first place in the Hollywood Book Festival for a first place e-book. And it was number one on Amazon in the divorce category, not the romance category.
Oh,
and now it's still in different categories. It's still doing well. But you can find It Had to Be Us on the Betty Jo Tucker website. And in fact, you're eligible still for the launch for the ebook that's on Kindle. It's only $5.99, for God's sakes. And you get this true love story. You get vegetarian recipes. You get reviews of 20 of our favorite romantic films. You get and our author's royalties go to the Imagination Library. That's a children's literacy project, sort of under the Dollywood Foundation umbrella. So, how can you pass up an offer like that?
Well, you can't go wrong buying that book for $5.99. So if we go on BettyJoTucker.com, or we can go to Amazon, we can buy that book.
Right, Amazon, the Kindle store, because it is an e-book.
And there's so much humor in it, Betty Jo Tucker. It is just, I don't want to give it away, but it's just a really inspirational book. It really is. And it kind of gives hope to people who, sometimes people get divorced, and after they get divorced, they're like, I should have maybe tried harder. I should have done this. I should have done that. I don't think I really wanted to get divorced. So this kind of gives hope, like maybe in a couple of years you go different paths, learn different things, you know, and then you can rediscover each other. So it's very inspirational and hopeful to those who may have gotten divorced and thought maybe I should not have, because it does happen. Some people are running for the hills after they get divorced. They're like, woohoo, divorce party. But some people are like, I don't think it was right. I feel like, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done that. So this is really a book for people who are questioning their reality, not to get that one in there.
Oh, questioning reality. That's good. How's that great?
That's perfect. Now, you also wrote another book entitled Confessions of a Movie Addict, which is so funny. I got to tell you, that one, I told you about reading that one. I wrote a little read a little tidbit, and then I laugh, and then I put it down because I just don't want to laugh too much because I want to be excited for the next little bit. But it's really just so funny. Can you tell us the inspiration for writing that?
Well, we didn't the publisher of It Had to Be Us wanted another book from us, and Larry said, no, thank you. So the publisher said, well, you write one. And so I said, well, that first book was so emotional. I mean, it was funny and, you know, suspenseful and everything, but it took a lot of emotion to write it. And I said, I'll do it if I can do something that's just fun, just, fun.
Right.
If I can just write about the movies. And
right.
So the publisher said, yes, go ahead. So that's how I said, well, I'll just write about my life. it's sort of my life with everything edited out except the movie stuff. And so,
right. I mean, I liked how you start when you were a child, and you even tell us how much you paid as a child to go to the movies. I'm like, what? I wish we could play. I can't remember if it was 5 cents or 10 cents, but
yeah.
I'm like, what?
Well, Priscilla, what surprised me about this book was 10 years after it was published, it won the first place in the memoir and autobiography category at the Royal Dragonfly Awards. And so now I got these little stickers I can put on the front of the book, number first place.
It's funny. I mean, I didn't know you were so funny, Betty Jo Tucker, but it is very well written and it's got hysterical stuff in it. I mean, it's funny. It is. I think in another life you could have been a stand-up comedian. I really do. Because this book is just full. I mean, just talking. You could just talk about things that went on in your life and the way you word it. It's just brilliantly written. So
I
highly suggest that people get that. Can they still buy that on Amazon.com?
Yes,
too?
Yes, of course. And that is now also on, it's also on on Kindle. So you can get that in paperback or the ebook. So that's available both places at Amazon.
Now, you are currently, which I am so excited about, you are currently in the stages of the film adaptation of It Had to Be Us, which is the book we were just talking about, your award-winning romantic memoir. Now, what was your inspiration to adapt the book into the screenplay? Because as you said, after you and Larry finished that, you were just drained and white, which I can imagine. And then you decided to torture yourself even more to adapt it into a screenplay. But how did you get from the book to the screenplay?
Well, you know, we actually didn't do that. There was a lot of people who read that book and said it should be a movie.
Oh, yes.
And one of the people who read it was filmmaker Misha Zubrev. And so he's the one who has taken on the project, and he's worked so diligently at it. I mean, just he's done, there are two screenplay adaptations that are both brilliant. I'm not at liberty to say much more about this, because it's in a situation now where there's investors involved. And until Misha, I can say, though, that the two actors that he envisioned when he was writing the screenplay have come on board. which is very, which is very, very exciting.
And there's
a lot of interest in it, but it takes, but now it's in the, you know, the financial stage where we're getting investors. And so it's important not to do anything that would interfere with that. But you will be one of the first people that we notify when I hear from Misha. I'll be in touch with you with the good news. Keep your fingers crossed.
I am going to keep my fingers crossed. Well, you know, I wrote some questions, which I guess we should have brought Misha on here too, because my next questions were part of the career advice process, which was what I don't think you can answer these, but I'm going to just ask you from your perspectives. And it would have been better to have Misha on so he could go through what a screenplay adaptation is. But I wanted to ask what's been the best part. I mean, for those of you who haven't gone through the screen adaptation process, can you walk us through the steps of what that entails? And I don't think you can answer that since you weren't the one to adapt the screenplay.
Maybe
we can go with what's been the best part of the screen adaptation experience, the best and the most stressful or difficult part for you then.
Well, I would read what was sent to me and would comment. I was just serving as a consultant, and a lot of my ideas have been incorporated. But if you're working with somebody, a screenwriter who's as talented as Misha, I mean, that's where that's who's doing all the work. And so it's not.
You're not really going through anything stressful at all. You're just reading.
reading and reacting, and, you know, it's really fun for me. You know, this has been just a lot of fun for me to do it. But Misha just has this filmmaker's eye, and he's a great storyteller, and he knows visually how to make it, you know, sort of pop out and be a film rather than just be on the page. I'm just amazed at what he's done.
Well, Betty Jo Tucker, you have to get him on the show so we can ask him what the steps are to do the screen adaptation process, because I'm sure a lot of my listeners who want to do that. Can you hook that up for me?
Although, you know, he's so busy with this right now, he might not be able to do it, but later on, you know. Let him know.
Yeah, it would be a great promotion for him and his career, because we have millions of listeners, so I can't imagine he wouldn't want to come on.
Oh, he would.
But, so maybe we can bring him on and he can explain the screen adaptation process.
That would be great.
So I'm gonna count on you to hook that up, Betty Jo Tucker.
All right, I got an assignment.
Yeah, you did. You're gonna get all kinds of stuff now, because it has gone into the film critic question portion of the show. Betty Jo Tucker, I know everybody tells you this, you are such a nice, lovely, polite, well-mannered, just Renaissance, gracious person. I can't imagine you ever giving a negative film critique, but if you have, were you ever contacted by the filmmaker regarding the bad review? And if so, how did you handle the situation?
No, I've never been contacted by the film, by anyone associated with the movie, but I have gotten people who were upset, and I'm getting ready to get some more, because I've been doing a lot of my reviews with poetry, and so I know this is going to cause a lot of stir, and this is just really, really short. Boyhood has won a lot of praise. Its 12-year shoot took many days. A boy grows up, as most will do. Is that plot? Is that a plot? Not in my view. But actors play their roles with ease. No fault with them. They strive to please. They also age before our eyes, and so they should. It's no surprise. Sorry, I'm a party pooper for a film most think is super.
I love it! Oh my God, Betty Jo Tucker, did you write that for like every film, or did you just do it for that one?
Okay, I did that one.
I want more.
I did Boyhood, and that's one of the ones that probably is going to run a win. But it's got so many fans.
Don't give it away, because we're going to ask what your views are after the questions.
Okay.
Okay. Don't give me a spoiler. Okay, you got any more poetry for any of the other ones?
Okay, this one is good. I like this one. So, okay. This is called A Drum Roll, Please. This is on Whiplash.
Yeah.
This drummer boy strives to be best, his goal to play above the rest. Will he survive? A teacher who makes students cringe for things they do? This teacher man shames students all. He boosts them up, then sees them fall. Both actors here held me enthralled. Acting, I think, their art is called. Whiplash deserves an Oscar shot. Intensity is what it's got.
I love it! Oh my God, I love that. I love it. Now, do you have any for my Benedict Cumberbatch for the movie?
I don't have.
I should have asked you to write one in advance. What about any of the other ones? You got any for the other?
I have for, and this is probably a problem I'll probably hear on this. This is American Sniper.
Sniper.
And I call it the sheepdog way.
Uh-oh.
Protect your herd, his father said. Don't be a sheep or wolf instead. So Chris lived life the sheepdog way. Brothers in arms, he saved each day. Sharpshooting as a Navy SEAL, Chris made his mark, a hero real. But this film lacks a human touch. Video game like way too much. Shooting, and little more. This film ends up two-story poor.
Woo! Oh my God! Did you wrote these yourself, Betty Jo?
Yes.
Wow!
Well, I'm trying to be a little more creative with my reviews, so they're not just the same thing. And I don't think a lot of critics are doing this. So
no,
more and more. That's what I'm doing. But those are the only three poems I have for the best pictures.
Betty Jo, those are fantastic. Please do that again next year. I'm going to have to request in advance whatever film I'm thinking of, and you can whip one up for one of my favorites.
I could do that.
Now, do you feel that as a film critic that you need to balance your critique with the good and bad viewpoints? Because if you love a film and you go positive, 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 and don't mention any negative, then you know, a person's like, I don't know. What are your feelings on that?
Yes, I think there's something good about, I mean, even when a film is bad, there's something that you can pull out that has been done right. So I do try to do that. And then I do also try to indicate my personal prejudices and biases, because I give thrillers, I'm easy on thrillers and I'm easy on musicals, and so my readers and listeners know that. And if there's an actor that I haven't felt that is a favorite, I will let them know that I'm biased to this actor, like Hugh Jackman, Johnny Depp. I know that I have that bias, so I just want to make sure that people know.
I'm glad that you said that, because that's one of my it's like you're psychic, Betty Jo, because my next question was, I thought, well, you know, when you're evaluating movies, how well do you factor out your predilections? Like you just said, for example, I personally am turned off by violence, and I am so sure people are always asking my opinion. I don't know why about movies, and probably because Albert and I go to so many movies, but it's like before they go to buy the ticket, which is usually very expensive for my actor friends, they're always saying, well, what did you think of this? What do you think of that? And I feel, you know, I personally am turned off by violence, and I'm sure that that affects my opinions of such movies like, I don't know, Kill Bill, Pulp Fiction. Oh, my God, I hated those movies. I just hated them with a passion. And I perhaps judge them unfairly, but this is just how I feel. And it comes out when my opinion is asked about a certain movie, even though I really, 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 really try to be fair, like you said, and I try to find something that's positive. So my question to you is, if you suspect that you have a bias, as you just said, against a certain subject matter, do you make an attempt to temper your review, or do you just do what you said? Okay, I'm just telling you now, I love Johnny Depp, I love it, and I find it hard to give them a bad review.
Well, I think that's pretty much the answer, your last sentence there, because there's so much that you want to say about a movie, and once they know that what your predilection is, I think that's all you really have to tell, because you have to be honest with the reader.
Well, you must be the only one that does that, because I don't think I've ever read a review where they say, I'm just letting you know now, everything that this person does is going to be considered great. Because, you know, I love Johnny Depp. I met and hung out with Johnny Depp at the Tremont Plaza Hotel when he was doing Cry Baby. And personally, I mean, I spent hours with him, and he is, in my opinion of him at that time, he's a wonderful person personally. I just don't want to go. I told this story to millions of people, but I just love this man. And I thought, oh my God, everything I see that he's in is going to be fantastic and great. And then I thought, well, there's going to be some movies that aren't great, but everything I've ever seen him in, the movie can totally suck, but he stands alone in his ability to do his job. And
people are like soul sisters.
Yeah, they're like, you're biased because you met him and hung out with him. No, that's not true. I've met and hung out with a lot of celebrities, and then I've seen him in films, and it's like, oh God, no, they were terrible. They were cast incorrectly. And I still don't know for the life of me why an actor who's considered, you know, I hate to go A-list, B-list, C-list, but that's how they do it in Hollywood. I don't know how an A-list actor can look at a script and go, oh my God, that part's for me. And then they do it, and they're so wrong for the character. And Robert De Niro has a tendency to accept movies that he's not right for the part for. But again, you know, it's completely objective. You know, people are going to have their viewpoints. So my question has always been, is there such a thing as an objective film criticism? I don't think so. I think that when you're evaluating stuff, you're going to factor in your own pros and cons. So I don't really understand what the review is for, because sometimes people go, oh, I love it. We read the reviews, and then they give terrible reviews, and Albert and I go see it. We love it. We love the movie. We're like, what? No, my next question is, what film critic do you, well, we'll say from the past, what film critic from the past do you most connect with in like style, your sensibility, and just kind of your overall approach to film criticism? Anybody that you can think of?
Well, sure. And that's one of the reasons I'm upset with the Oscars this year. I thought, you know who I'm talking about, Roger Ebert.
Oh.
Because he really just kind of the every person's critic. I mean, his reviews were easy to understand, and he also did try to be objective, but he told what his biases were, and he influenced so many of us to become film critics. And then of course he passed away, and there was this wonderful documentary, Life Itself, about Roger Ebert that was just
Roger Ebert that I don't like. I don't like Siskel. Well, which one? The bigger guy. Which is the bigger guy? The bigger, the heavier one. It was the small one. It was Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah, Ebert was a heavy set.
Oh,
I just thought that he was so real with his reviews, and you never were bored, you know, with him. He was not pretentious. And so hopefully he did influence me. I know he was a big influence to me as far as becoming a film critic. And I was hoping that the wonderful documentary about his life would be one of the documentaries nominated for best documentary, but it wasn't. So I guess the Academy members didn't really think too much about honoring a film critic. So maybe that's what happened. Roger Ebert, I think.
Now, what are why, in your opinion, why aren't there more female movie reviewers. It's not that I don't agree with male assessments of films, but I really feel that women bring a different perspective, just like I guess just like any other industry. But I know there were a couple female reviewers, but I know there's a couple out there, like, you know, big A-list female reviewers, but I think that the majority are male. But I do know, because my aunt used to be a film critic for the New Yorker in the 70s, and I know that in the 70s, the New Yorker, they all their movie critics were all women. So why do you think that there's not more female movie critics today?
That's a very good question. I don't know why. Because it's really, you know, women love movies and they're good writers. So many women love movies and they're good writers. So why aren't they? I know to get into some of the film critic societies, people have to be voted in, and I don't know whether there's some discrimination there or not. I hope not. Or maybe women are just so busy, they have jobs, you know, their job opportunities opening up for them, and, you know, they no longer have to be teachers or housewives like when I was growing up and first starting to work. So I just don't know, but there are some great ones. Nell Minow, the movie mom, she is just wonderful. The flick philosopher, Mary Johansson, I believe that's, I'm trying to think of a, I don't know.
They're
my mind. No, I can't think, but she's called the flick philosopher, and I'm so sorry that I can't think of her name.
Okay.
Then my friend Diana Sanger, who is the founder of Classic Movie Guide and who writes for my website, Real Talk Movie Reviews, there's just so, you know, there are many.
They're out there.
Yeah,
there,
but there, just there's not as there, many, not as not, many as the men, not as not, many as the men.
I know. Well, we need to get more film female movie reviewers. So, people out there, please think of that as a career. Now, we almost we're running out of time, and I got to get in. I got to get why I brought you on the show. What is? Are you ready? Because we only have like 5 minutes. I got 5:42, so we got less than 5 minutes. All right. So, what is your best? What is your pick for best picture?
Okay, there are two movies neck and neck, Boyhood or Birdman, I think we'll win. Boyhood or Birdman.
Okay, what's your pick for actor in a leading role?
For actor in a leading role, I am predicting a tie, and there have been ties before. Eddie Redmayne from The Theory of Everything and Michael Keaton from Birdman.
Actress in a leading role.
Actress in a leading role, I'm picking Julianne Moore from Alice
Still Alice. Okay. Actor in a supporting role.
Well, that's the sure thing. That's the sure thing this year. And it's J.K. Simmons in Whiplash.
Actress in a supporting role.
And this is kind of close to a sure thing. That's Patricia Arquette in Boyhood.
Woo, I love her. Original screenplay.
Oh, original screenplay. I would say, okay, this is adapted.
That was next. I got adapted next, so you can go adapted.
Adapted, yes. I think the Budapest Hotel, the Grand Budapest Hotel, hopefully.
And original screenplay.
And original screenplay, Birdman, probably.
You love Birdman. Okay, let's see. Best director?
And best director, that's kind of neck and neck, too, between Iñárritu, I think he's the guy who did Birdman, and Nick Linkletter, who did Boyhood.
Okay. Animated feature film? Did you think of that?
Animated. Well, I've only seen three of them, so it's not fair for me to do it, except the one that I did like very much was Big Hero 6. I thought that was so charming.
Okay. I think the box trolls, but okay. But all right. I like it. All right. Did you do costume design at all or cinematography? I always go cinematography and costume design, and then I stop.
Well, cinematography, my favorite cinematographer is Lubetzky, and he did the cinematography for Birdman.
Woo! We got it all in there, Betty Jo Tucker. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. You're terrific. Wow. Oh, I didn't think we could do it.
I didn't either. We had to cover everything. I think we got everything, Betty Jo Tucker. I think we did. Well, we're just going to have to watch everybody to see if Betty Jo Tucker's picks were the picked. And we're going to bring her back on again next year for the Oscars, if you're willing, Betty Jo Tucker. And hopefully we'll have some information on your adapted screenplay for It Had to Be Us, right?
Oh, yes. I hope so. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Well, we're keeping our finger crossed, too. Thank you so much, Betty Jo Tucker. Say goodbye to your fans.
Goodbye to my fans, and goodbye to Priscilla Leone's fans. And Priscilla, thank you so much for your enthusiastic support. It really means a lot to me.
Oh, my God, Betty Jo. Well, I just hope I get invited to the red carpet screening of It Had to Be Us, because I know that film is going to happen. You count me in to promote it in any way that I can, Betty Jo Tucker. So, again, go to her website, BettyJoTucker.com, and check her out on RealTalkReviews.com, and listen to her radio show, BlogTalkRadio.com, Movie Attic Headquarters. And we'll see you all next week. Let's say bye on three, Betty Jo Tucker. One, two, three, bye!
Bye!
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.